You're listening to Wheelationships.
We're discussing the four emotions that control me. And just want to refresh your memory real quickly on the last 2 weeks. The biggest issues we face are heart issues, not our physical heart. Some of you, that may be true, but our emotional, spiritual, relational heart. My heart determines everything about me. Everything I think, everything I do, everything I say is determined by what's in my heart, whether that's good or whether that's bad. And the bad things that are in my heart, the bad things that are in our heart, they tend to stay there. And they tend to get stuck there. And they tend to make our heart sick. Just as with your physical heart, if you got bad stuff in your heart, it tends to get stuck and stay there, and it makes your whole body ill. That's what happens in our heart with these things that we're talking about. It makes my attitudes, it makes my actions, it makes my words sick as well. And we read this scripture, Matthew 15:19, for from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, that's actions, theft, slander, lying. And there are four major emotions that will control us and cause us much relational trouble. More than that, they leave us, as Trudy talked about last week, they leave us in a debt imbalance in our relationship. Trudy talked about it last week, that these four emotions, they create a situation where we have a debt, where we owe something to someone else, or they owe something to us, and anytime there's a debt, there's an imbalance of power. Last week, Trudy talked about the power of guilt, and guilt says, I owe you. That's what guilt says. Ran across this cartoon this week. Hey, no cheating there. You can't look ahead. Sorry. Saw this cartoon this week. Look, it has to be guilty or not guilty. You can't plead, I don't want to talk about it. A lot of times with guilt, we want to plead, I don't want to talk about it. I feel guilty. And the tool that God uses to break the power of guilt in our lives is confession. Confession shines light into our hearts so that the reason for the guilt is shown. This is why I feel guilty. This is what I need to confess about. And as soon as the light is shown, the guilt loses its power because now it's out in the open. And that's really hard. Okay, is that just me? It's hard, isn't it, sometimes to confess because you don't want to be exposed. You don't want that to come out. And so you have this verse on your handout. John 3, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Now see, we know that. You know, when we do things that are wrong, when we do those things that come out of a sick heart, we don't want them exposed. Verse 20, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. It's a lot like cockroaches. You know? They hate the light. They don't want to be exposed. Shine the light on them and they scatter. Sally came into my office. Yeah, Sally comes into my office the other day, and she's got computer, and she's got the bag, and she's coming in, and she hands me the computer, and she starts screaming at me, "Get it off! Get it off!" I don't know what she's talking about, and I look, and she's got a big old cockroach right there on her arm. No, it was a cockroach. I got it off. I got some tissue and grabbed it, and I said, thank you for bringing that into my office. I appreciate it. I think it dropped from the tree. I don't know where it did. Yeah, it was weird. Anyway, you hate them? They scatter usually with the light. They usually don't crawl on your arm. Let me ask you, did anybody this week, we talked about this whole confession thing and guilt, anybody make a confession this week? Do you want to confess that? I'm not asking you what it was. I'm not asking you to confess again. I want to know, did anybody actually make a confession? You thought of something and you took care of it this week. Anybody? Okay, good. Did that help with your sense of guilt? Hopefully it did. Okay. So I'll stop right there. Before we go on, we talked about that last week. Anything you have to add there to our whole discussion of guilt and confession and everything? Okay, I want to give you a chance. Okay.
Guilt is like really sneaky. You think it's gone, you're fine, and all of a sudden it starts worming its way back in again. You know, it's like, I need it.
Yeah. And you have to Well, she feels guilty about that. So. All right, so let's talk about the second emotion that controls me and you. In some ways, this is the easiest, most straightforward of the four emotions. It's the one that's a lot of times easy to identify, and it's probably the easiest to take care of. And if you haven't figured out by now that when a preacher tells you something is easy, you better watch out. 'Cause, well, okay, I'm telling you, it's easy, but hard. If it were so easy, then we'd just take care of it like that, and we wouldn't have any problem with this one. And usually when you say it's easy, it's often something we don't like to take care of. So let's talk about anger. Anger. How many of you are, when I say that, we're going to talk about anger, how many of you are relieved because this is not something you think you have a problem with? Really? Okay. Don't have anger issues. Good, I got the right crowd. Anger says, you owe me. Anger says, you owe me. That is the debt dynamic that anger creates. You owe me. Because of what you did, because of what you said, because of what you didn't do, because of what you should have done, what you should have said, because of something that happened, you owe me. All right. Anybody got a quick definition? What is anger? It's a poison. Yeah. What is anger? When we talk about what is that? What is anger? Come on, I gave you the definition right in the title. When I don't get what I want. When I don't get, that's the definition of anger. Anger is the emotion I experience when I don't get what I want. Okay, do you see the debt dynamic in those words? When I don't get, we get angry when we don't get what we want. Everybody grasp that? You fully apprehend that? Anybody have a problem with that? Maybe? I don't like it. Okay, you need to fully grasp this. Otherwise, you're going to remain stuck with this. So let's clarify. I want to clarify this in a couple ways. First thing is this. The degree of the anger doesn't matter. The degree of the anger doesn't matter. Whether it really makes me angry or whether maybe it's, you know, I wasn't really angry. I was put off. I was annoyed. I was disappointed. Pick your own word. Yeah, whatever the degree is, to this particular point, it doesn't matter. When you don't get what you want, that's the emotion you feel is anger. And you could say, well, it didn't really make me that angry. Okay, well, there's still anger there, okay? The degree doesn't matter. The main thing is we get angry when we don't get what we want. And here's the other thing. What we want includes what we deserve. What we want includes what we deserve. You can't treat these as two separate things. Well, there's what I want and there's what I deserve. No, there's what you want and it includes what you deserve. You know, because if you deserve it, you're going to want it, right? If we deserve something, then we're going to want. When I was 12, okay, you may have a little issue with this. When I was 12, we lived up north, and so we came down to Miami Beach for Big Assemblies of God conference that year, and my dad had got some, I mean, remember, we lived up north, so we didn't deal with certain things up north like you do down here. We were going to Miami Beach, and so my dad had got some brochures trying to figure out where we were going to stay. And he got some brochures, and he had this brochure and had this nice picture of this lovely motel, on it. And he made reservations at the Moulin Rouge Motel. All right. So this is 1975, and there's no, of course, no internet, no Google. He's looking at this brochure. And so it was us and another family, and I don't remember a whole lot, except I remember sitting underneath the carport waiting for my dad and the other dad as they went inside to check the room, check the place out, and it seemed like forever, and they came out, and they were not happy. And I actually don't remember, I don't think we actually stayed there. I know we went to another motel and we, it's because it's like 89 years ago, but I just remember we stayed like a night, another place, but the thing was, we were at this luxurious, let me show you the picture. That's the picture he looked at. Now the thing was, it was a dump. It did not look like that picture. It sort of looked like that picture, but not really looked like that picture. And it was a dump. And when he went in to check the room, they turned on the light and cockroaches scattered. You know, speaking of cockroaches, they scattered. And remember, we're from up north. We don't deal with that kind of thing. Like Florida, what in the world is that? And so that was the picture. And remember, this is 1975 that he's looking at this brochure. Those are not 1975 model cars. All right. This is actually a picture. You can Google it. This is from 1959. All right. It's a postcard of this motel. And this is actually the picture he looked at in the thing he had. And he said, well, you know, I should have. Yeah, okay. you knew it wasn't going to be quite like that because you could see the cars were 16 years old. So, but he felt cheated. Dad was not happy because he felt cheated. He felt misled. He felt like he made these reservations and he deserved that kind of accommodation with a clean room free of cockroaches, and he really felt he deserved that. It was something he felt he deserved because it was something he wanted. Not only was it was part of that subset of what he felt he deserved. Those were not two separate things. He wanted a nice hotel with cockroach-free rooms. He was not happy. He was angry. That's what it boils down to. We don't get what we want. We don't get what we think we're deserved. Somebody owes us. Last week, Trudy gave us an example to help us with the guilt issue. And it was a scenario of a husband running off with another woman, leaving his wife and his children. Think of the children in that situation. Think of what they feel they're deserved. They deserve a family, a cohesive family. They deserve a dad who stays and loves them and their mother. All of that's been taken away. They feel cheated. Somebody owes them. In that instance, their dad, because he left. That's normal anger. There should be some anger there. You deserved something. It was taken away. Somebody owes you. The dad does in that instance. And what happens if the dad comes back and he talks to the kids and he goes, well, kids, you don't understand. Your mom, if she would do that, and she was always, and she always treats, and I have to go through all of it. And if he actually convinces them that their mom had some part in this, then their mom owes him too. And so there's anger all around. And so an angry person is usually also a hurt person. Something is taken away and we feel angry, but we also feel hurt. We feel there's been something. Now, again, it may not be something huge and monstrous. It could be something small. But somebody owes us something. That something may just be an apology. Here are some statements that reflect loss caused by anger. You took my reputation. You stole my family. You took the best years of my life. You stole my first marriage. You robbed me of my teenage years. You robbed me of my purity. You owe me a raise. You owe me an opportunity. You owe me a second chance. You owe me affection. See the debt dynamic there. There's been something where there's been hurt. There's been loss. I deserve or I want. So, sometimes it is just something we want, okay? Anger always has something to do with what we want. It may be something we think we deserve. It may be just something we want. Doesn't matter. It's always about something we want. Always. Something we want. And all I'm saying there is sometimes we think these are separate things. They're not. This is just a subset of this. It's always about what we don't get what we want. We don't get what we want. We think sometimes we get an out for this because, well, I deserve that though. It's still about what we want. Yes.
Playing cards, you know, like with my daddy or something, and I would almost never win, and he would win, and I would already be kind of a little angry about that, and obviously I wanted to win and didn't get it, but then he'd reach over and pat, you know, rub in that win, and it would just make me more angry, you know. So it's common little everyday things. It's not big life-changing events, but I played a game, I wanted to win, and I didn't get a win, and I'm angry about that.
How many of you today, there was something you wanted and you did not get it? Today. Okay. And I've heard from at least half the room right there, I wanted more sleep. Why do you think you wake up and you're grumpy? I wanted more sleep. I'm not getting it. You say, well, I'm not angry, I'm grumpy. That's the emotion you're dealing with. That is the thing that we don't always identify. Again, it's not a big deal. I'm not talking about degrees. Anger is when you don't get what you want. I've lost track this morning. I was going to keep track. There's no way I can keep track. I've already run across so many things I wanted and I didn't get. Get over it.
Does it work the same for your anger with yourself?
Yes. You wanted you. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes the you owe me, the you is you. You know, I wanted to do this better. I didn't do it. I failed. Now I'm angry with me and I think I owe me something. It sounds like a messed up conversation, and it is. Yes.
Do with somebody hurting me very badly. And I was very, very angry, went through it, had to deal with it, had to let the Lord deal with me, get me through it. Now, and I'm trying to figure, I've been listening to you trying to figure out how it's going together. I wanted an apology. From that person. Never came, never came. Well, after the years go by, you know, God decides you don't have to know. You know, God deals with that. You forgive, you go on. Well, not too long ago, and this has been many, many years, this person came to me and said, the last 3 years, this person came and said, I've been thinking about this for the last 3 years, and I need to come and apologize to you. And I was so, you know, when you first want that apology, that means, like, that's everything. But when that person came and apologized to me, I was just like, the anger wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, blown away by it. And you know what? I just thought, God, I could see where God could start doing such a healing in this person's life. I mean, 3 years you've been talking to the cup, and you've been struggling and guilty.
And what were they dealing with? They were dealing with guilt. Absolutely. They were dealing with guilt. You were dealing with anger. All right. Oh, let me give you a little spoiler here. I'm not going to give you the answer on how to deal with this today. We'll get to that next week. That may be something you want. You'll just have to deal with that anger this week. Because here's the thing. We think in this situation, you know, we're hurt, something's been taken, or, you know, maybe, again, you say, well, I wasn't hurt by not getting sleep. Well, actually, there's a little pain involved in not getting sleep. But aside from that, we think that the remedy to our anger is payback. We think that the remedy to our anger is payback. Isn't that how you fix a debt? You pay the debt. If you owe me, then you ought to pay me. If you've taken something from me, then you need to give it back. Okay? Somebody owes me, they need you promised me a clean, non-cockroach infested room. You need to make it up to me. Right? Payback. And if you don't, if you don't pay it back, it's not fair. It's not fair. Yes, sir.
Did their brochure say we offer clean, no cockroach?
You know, that was the implication of their brochure. Okay. You're right. I assumed and I wanted it.
And rightly so.
I wanted it.
Rightly so.
You know, because sometimes it doesn't matter what the contract says. I want.
The funny thing about payback is, even if you
want
to resolve things with the person you're angry
You're still going to be a little hesitant there, aren't you? See, so you want this situation made right in your favor, and because if it's not, it's not fair. It's not fair that they would do this to me. It's not fair that you would get away with this. It's not. And if you could cancel the other way you can handle the debt is you could cancel the debt. But how fair is that? If you cancel the debt. Then, that's not fair. See, because people need to pay what they owe. Otherwise, if they don't pay what they owe, then not only are they going to take advantage of me, then they're going to take advantage of everybody else they run into, and they're just gonna, and that's not fair. Let me ask you this though: how do you pay back a childhood? How are you going to ever get paid for years when a dad isn't there? That's a problem. You can spend your whole life waiting for relational debts to get paid that just cannot be paid. You can get hurt. You can get taken advantage of. You can get, they do something and you're sitting there waiting to get paid and it cannot be paid. And an angry heart is a sick heart. That's a statement you can use with all four of these emotions we're going to talk about. A guilty heart is a sick heart too. Each of these are viruses that attack and infect, and they don't stay localized or focused on one area. They spread until they affect every part of us. See, guilt's going to spread, and eventually it won't be just, I owe that person. Eventually it's going to be, I owe everyone. Because I just feel this sense of guilt. Anger is going to spread, and eventually it won't be just that person owes me. It's going to be everybody owes me. You've run across people with angry hearts, right? You run across people with angry hearts, and they just seem angry about everything. They seem like the world owes them everything. You don't think you did anything, and you get all this anger coming back, and you wonder, what was that about? You know? Well, what it was about was you didn't let them have what they wanted. And then there are those that nothing seems to please them. Even when you give them what they want, it's not enough. Or it's not exactly what they wanted. Or it's what they wanted this time. But you know what they want is going to change before the next time. See, someone that is extremely angry is not going to let you get it right, because if they let you get it right, then they're going to lose their excuse to be angry, and they can't let that happen. See, that's not right. That shouldn't be right. It's sick. It's a sign of a sick heart. Sick people act sick. You may recoil at that word being called sick, but we act sick. People with sick hearts are sick people, and sick people act sick. I'll go here because I saw his hand first.
A lot of times that I've noticed in my own experience, anger is a deflection. You take out other people, you're angry at yourself. And you don't accept the blame. So you throw it out there on other people, and they suffer the wrath or whatnot.
Yeah.
Not fair to them.
You feel angry about yourself. You feel angry about angry about how you feel.
Yeah.
And it gets thrown on other people. Yeah. Right. No, you can't. Because you're not the source of the anger. Oh, sure. And you deal with those people all the time where you're not the source of the anger. It may have come out with you because they didn't get some little thing they wanted, but really it's a bigger issue of them not getting what they want somewhere else. And it's this sickness that's permeated the heart. And so you know people like that, right? You know people like that, right?
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is this a person you know, or is this a person you are? Do you just Do you just know people like this and you want to know how to deal with them? Or are you someone that has this issue and you know need to know how to deal with yourself? Or is it both? You don't have to confess right now because you may feel some guilt. Really, I think you need to know the answer to that question. I think you need to know whether there are anger issues you need to deal with, or is it just other people, they've got anger issues and you got some significant things that you need to deal with their anger. Is it? You need to know. And there's one way to find out which that is. You know what the way is? Yeah. You need to go to the people closest to you and you need to ask them.
But what if they're gone because you made them angry?
Then you got your answer.
Joe said get married.
Really? Really? I just ask him. Just say, look, we're in this class and we're talking about anger, and I was just wondering, do I have anger issues? All right, now, some of you, when I said that, you don't need to ask, right? Because you know, yeah, you know, if you went to the people closest to you and you said, do I have anger issues? They'd be like,
duh.
You really, so... You know the answer. Even if you know that they're going to be afraid to tell you, you know that if they were really, really honest, they would tell you, yeah, you have some anger things that you probably need to work on. Okay. So if that's you, you really don't need to ask. You just need to come back and we'll talk about this whole anger issue thing. But if you really are unsure, then you need to go ask. You need to ask the people closest to you, do I have... Really, I mean, if you don't know, then you need to ask and listen. Listen to what they say. Listen to what they say and listen to how it makes you feel when they're talking. If you're unsure about this, ask the people closest to you and listen to what they say. Listen to how you feel, because obviously if you find yourself getting angry at them when they're answering the question that you asked them to answer. You have a problem, okay? And if while they're ever so delicately trying to answer your very dangerous question and you feel tension rising within you, you might have a problem. And if while you're talking, you feel to interrupt and defend, explain yourself, then that might tell you something. And if the people you ask have to take a big gulp of air and have a hard time getting started and they're afraid to tell you and you can't fathom why they would be afraid to tell you, if you can't fathom why they're afraid to tell you, then ask them, why are you afraid to tell me? That might tell you something else. And if it turns out that, yes, they think you have some anger problems, the only one that's going to be surprised about that is you. Because they already know. So you're not discussing anything they don't already know. Others around you already know that there may be a time or two where you have an anger problem thing. Okay, so it's good to know for you to, even if it's painful, because light is important to rooting these things out. And you need to expose them. I guess I gotta stop right there. Next week, we'll pick it up from right there.